Ooh, it's podcast time.
Yep, I've got my podcast and pants on.
I have my podcasting shorts on.
Well, they're minor short pants.
Yeah, I got a full range of motion in these bad boys. I can do lunges, high kicks.
Oh, maybe we should. I didn't bring any sort of aerobic podcast to the table today.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Yeah, well,
I could do like a very, very revealing stretches where my balls fall out one leg of the shorts.
Yeah. How do you do that? Do you have to give it a wiggle? Do you have to help that ball sack fall in just the right way?
I actually can just make mine kind of descend like a little elevator that's taking coal miners down into the mine shaft. But instead of coal miners, it's just two little balls. And they just come down.
Would you say that the balls are the coal miners or are the balls the canary?
The balls are the coal miners.
Okay.
And then I guess that the sperm is the canary.
Oh, okay. I was going to say.
Something's bad wrong in here.
I would imagine if you just stuffed a canary into your short pants, it's probably going to freak out whether everything's A-okay or not.
I feel like if I put a canary down my pants, it would suffocate and die.
Okay.
And while correlation is not causation, there is just rotten gas in there that would have killed him anyway.
Okay.
There's no happy endings for a canary in my short pants. Every outcome is the same. Like the Terminator movie timeline. There's no stopping Judgment Day, just changing the timeline. I keep getting targeted ads. You ever get? You heard about this?
Yes, I more and more every day, more targeted ads.
I keep trying to beat the algorithm. You know, I'm using a VPN and deleting all of the information that gets built up in my Instagram or whatever. Still, they're coming at me. A lot of times it's just crazy stuff, and I'm like, oh, good, it's working. They're not targeting me. But then I got a new trending one that I keep getting over and over, and it's an advertisement for PrEP, the HIV drug.
Oh, okay.
Don't know what I did. I'm pretty sure it wasn't contract HIV.
Yeah. I also get that one. I think that they're just, I think that they made too much of it, and they're advertising to everyone trying to unload a bunch of it real fast. It's kind of like that time McDonald's introduced Mighty Wings and they didn't sell. And then they kept them in a deep freeze for 6 months, then came back with the advertising blitz that I still remember to this day.
They should have just said that they cured AIDS. That would have been, they would have been flying off the shelves. Mighty Wings work. They're just having a PrEP fire sale.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. We bought too much PrEP.
Yeah,
and we want to get it all off this lot.
You're going to notice PrEP Plus just dropped.
Diet PrEP. And then people hate the diet one. Bring back classic PrEP.
Mm-hmm. It's been a part of our lives. We grew up with it.
Yeah.
You can't just change PrEP.
Mm-hmm. You go over to your uncle's house and he's got the pool table and he's got all the vintage PrEP commercial advertisements all over the walls.
He's got that old-timey PrEP vending machine where it comes in a glass pill bottle. I thought they only still had those in barber shops.
They got a whole stack of dirty magazines and then just a big bottle of prep.
Mm-hmm.
AJ, I have some very, very upsetting news.
Oh, no.
We have to, this is a Department of Corrections for the history books.
I'm sorry, so sorry.
Folks, this past Christmas, we released a blockbuster episode of the podcast, a special Christmas story. AJ, you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
The Punies with Kobe Bryant. The Podtron suggested that we make a show called The Punies with Kobe Bryant, and we spent 2 weeks writing an entire story about how Kobe Bryant has miniature versions of the coolest people in history all living in his basement, fighting crime and solving mysteries. And then today, I stumbled across this.
Hey everyone, this is Kobe Bryant, and I'd like to introduce you to the Punies.
The Punies is back for season 2.
This podcast helps teach valuable life skills, like learning from failure and how to stay present when the pressure is on, all through sports, which is, you know, fun.
Check us out.
Well,
no one told us the Punies was real.
I'd never heard of it before at just this very moment. But I've got to say, I think that we went in a different enough direction that we can maybe let them just be like the real Punies with Kobe Bryant. Or yeah. I guess we would be the real Punies with Kobe Bryant, and they would just be the Punies with Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, how does that work? Do we have to be the real Ghostbusters? That was the Bill Murray Ghostbusters?
Yes. Only it they didn't have like the rights to make anybody look like the actors from the movie, but they are the characters from the Ghostbusters films.
Right.
Yeah. And the other one's a couple of numbnutses who were formerly an F troop and a talking gorilla flying around in a hot air balloon or something.
Yeah, something like that. A hot rod made out of a bathtub. Anyways, yeah, the Punies with Kobe Bryant was a real thing. It was a podcast that had Kobe Bryant's name attached to it and ghoulishly continued to use his likeness after his death, much Ooh. Like our Punies with Kobe Bryant did.
Yeah.
Shocking. It does seem like the Punies, I looked into it. It looks like it was a failed premium podcast that was on Stitcher or one of those, you know, where you have to subscribe to get all the episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And it also seemed like it was very kind of slapped together. All of the promotional materials have a kid named Gordo, but then all of the audio, they keep calling him Gordon.
I don't know. Maybe it's early on in the podcast. They hadn't gotten to know each other real well and hadn't given out nicknames.
I guess so. We'll never know.
No, I'm not paying to hear that.
As far as I'm
concerned, I've heard the real deal already.
Yeah. I know the Punies with Kobe Bryant, and you, sir, know the Punies with Kobe Bryant. Do you have an idea for a podcast?
I do, and I was trying to think. I might have done one on this topic a very long time ago, but I'm pretty sure we didn't pick it, and I came up with a dumb new title for it. So here it goes. Stony Cajones. An in-depth history of MTV's Rock and Jock programming.
Stony Cajones.
Yeah, that's just, those are just synonyms for rock and jock.
Okay. And then what was the subtitle of this?
An in-depth history of MTV's Rock and Jock programming, which was a television program that ran during the 90s in which MTV would have either a softball game or a basketball game between two teams composed of rock stars and actual professional sports players, and sometimes some actors. But there's some wild teams. The inaugural Rock and Jock Diamond Derby in 1990 featured Sammy Hagar and Sam Kinison as the coaches.
Whoa!
Yeah. And just some of the people who are on the teams here. Bret Michaels, lead singer of Poison. Corbin Burnson of the Major League films. Belinda Carlisle of the Go-Go's, MC Hammer, Keanu Reeves, Kevin Costner.
That's, wow, okay, that's interesting.
Kip Winger of Winger.
What? It would have to suck, because there's a lot of, like, actual baseball-adjacent people on that list.
Yeah,
you know,
I wasn't reading any of the sports stars. It's about a 50-50 mix.
But like MC Hammer, he was like the bat boy for the Oakland A's.
Yeah. And got to hang out with the Atlanta Falcons during the Deion Sanders years as well. Big sports fan.
But then you imagine that you're like the guy from Flock of Seagulls and everybody else is like actually into baseball.
Yeah.
Or played by Kevin Costner.
Yeah, the guy from Flock of Seagulls probably was more in tune with rounders or cricket.
Mm. Or he's like, terrified that Randy Johnson is going to hit him with a fastball.
Yeah. He's that kid who comes to the game and he's wearing jeans instead of baseball pants. He takes off running for third base because he hasn't been paying attention to what everybody else is doing.
Yeah, he showed up in jeans and a pair of Airwalk sneakers. And everybody else, that's not how he dresses for music videos. But then he was like, I want to dress like one of these normal kids. Shows up in that. He's got the Winger shirt on. Like the, what's that little dweeby kid on Beavis and
Butthead? Stewart, yeah.
Stewart. The guy from Winger is embarrassed for him.
Yeah, the guy from Winger is wearing a kick-ass Poison shirt.
This is the first time hearing of MTV's Rock and Jock programming.
You never got to watch it?
No.
It would be sort of a big event, and then they would run it whenever they'd do one or two a year, and for the week after it aired, it would air all the time. But then every once in a while, they'd do a block where they're like, hey, if it's 9 o'clock on a day in July, and we're just gonna play Rock and Jock all day long.
Interesting. I guess it sounds like it ran from, like, what you said, 1990 was the inaugural year.
Mm-hmm.
And it probably died out late 90s.
Yes.
That would have been the exact amount of time that I did not have access to MTV outside of, like, going to someone else's house. So unless
it was a golden era of MTV. I mean, it ran concurrently with all of the animation on MTV that I loved, actually playing music videos.
Yeah.
And it was actually kind of fun to watch. Like, they, in the basketball games, they had a basket above the regular basket that's like 30 feet in the air, and it's a 10-point shot if you can make it into the giant tall hoop.
What?
So the real basketball players will be like, I'm gonna hit that shot.
That's cool. I like that.
And I think a lot of them are free to watch on the internet, so I don't think we would have trouble finding one to pick out and watch and comment on.
Good to know. All right, I got an idea for a podcast.
Okay.
This is called the House Ways and Means Podcast.
Okay.
And I'll be honest with you, I don't know what the House Ways and Means is.
So we it's a thing you hear all of the time, and I'm like, Ooh, yeah. We'll just move some money over from there to here and shake it up a little bit, shake that money up so it bubbles up to the top. Like I imagine it's like making a money cocktail.
Something's going on, and we're here to figure it out. Maybe we this is an investigative journalism podcast where we get to the bottom of what the heck the Ways and Means is. What are they talking about? We're actually the first people to ever question it. Everyone else is just kind of bluffing, like, oh, yeah, Ways and Means. Checks and balances. The majority whip.
It does seem like my government education was very much focused on the early days, the basics, the building blocks. And I think that a lot has changed. And I don't think I was taught about anything after like the 1960s. So it's going to be fun to wade in there and figure out what all these movers and shakers in Washington have been up to all this time.
What are the ways? Where are the means? Whose house are we talking about? These are the burning questions we will answer on the House Ways and Means podcast. It is, you know, Majority Whip. I think we can keep that one, but having someone called the Minority Whip in this country seems like just harkening back to a worse time.
Yeah.
I assume it's a person, right?
I don't think it's.
It's not like an actual whip behind a glass case that they're going to.
I think that their role is to just bug the other members of their party into being present for votes. And then you're like, hey, big vote tomorrow. You're going to show up, right? You'll be there, aren't we? I think that's the job, is just making sure that you have enough votes to pass this thing, but they got to show up in the building. And you know, all those senators are like, but I want to do a Coke party. I don't want to vote.
I'm trying to beat Elden Ring.
You said there'd be ice cream last time and there was no ice cream. Why would I even go to that terrible place?
What could you use to lure all the senators into the Congress? Money? I guess, but some of them have so much money that it would take an inordinate amount of money to lure them into the Congress.
Maybe like an exclusive congressman only club underneath the Capitol building.
Ooh.
And special guest Tom Brady will be there right after the vote.
If I were the whip, I would just send out like a group text to everybody, like, dudes, you got to get down here right now. Chuck Schumer brought a monkey. The monkey got loose. He's going crazy. The monkey tore Nancy Pelosi's top off. Her giant tits fell out. You gotta see it.
Yeah. I don't know. That could go either way, though. I wonder if any of the senators have seen Nope. You know, like...
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's, we want to be clear. This is, bro.
This is a small monkey.
Chuck Schumer brought the little monkey from Friends.
Yeah.
And he did it, his little tiny hands delicately unbuttoned Nancy Pelosi's blouse.
He's so small, but those arms are so long. He was able to reach all the way around. And
he did it so deftly, she hasn't even noticed. She's up there banging a gavel with those big hangers swinging around.
Oh.
And the monkey's just running up and down the aisle, high-fiving everybody. He's having a good time.
I guess I'm gonna say that it's good to know that monkey has learned some new tricks, but man, I think that show would have been even more popular, if that's possible, if he'd known these tricks back when Friends was on.
Oh, that don't think that wasn't a fantasy of mine as a young man.
Were you frustrated when they switched from the monkey to the duck, and you're like, that duck can't take a bra off?
I was just I was watching every week, like, when is the monkey gonna tear their tops off? When? I thought that's why they introduced the monkey. It's an excuse for those broads to dump them out. All right, do you got another idea for a podcast?
I do. And this one is kind of two podcasts that I've had on my list for a long time. And I don't like either one of them enough on their own, but I'm thinking if I mashed them together, they might be something. So This is Go, Go, Go Karts and the Annotated Podcast. Now, Go, Go, Go Karts, I think, is self-explanatory. Go karts are very fun. I don't know of any podcast that focuses entirely upon go karts. The Annotated Podcast would be us listening back through our recorded Go, Go, Go Karts podcast. And coming up with annotations that explain where our references are coming from, what the themes of the podcast are, itemized by what minute and second point they happen in the podcast.
So this would be, the title is Go 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 Karts, the Annotated Podcast.
Yes.
Okay.
Which, because it's Go, Go, Go Karts, a lot of the annotations will probably just be sick pictures of really cool go karts. Mm-hmm.
So we'd have to have some supplemental materials that we distribute with the podcast for people to look at. And we're like, yeah, this one's got a Briggs & Stratton engine. Ooh. Yep. Close up of a Briggs & Stratton engine. We have the exploded diagram. Did you know this is the same motor that they use on a lawnmower? Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This model of go-kart was actually used in the filming of Richie Rich, but it was cut for time.
Oh, wait. Yeah. There are go-karts in that movie, right?
Yeah, they didn't think they needed a second go-kart scene.
Oh, there was there was a whole other go-kart scene later on, unrelated to the one that
this,
they showed.
This is supposed to be a movie about how rich this kid is, and I think we show that better by him having a wealth of hobbies and not just being a rich go-kart kid.
Go-karts. They did recycle that footage.
Yeah, they put it in Getting Even with Dad.
Yeah,
absolutely they did. You aren't going to spend all that money on the best go-karts money can buy and then film them with Macaulay Culkin, who's making, $100,000 an hour. His joy is costing you buku Dolores, So you're going to throw that in the next one.
Yeah. Do you think that Macaulay Culkin had some sort of thing where he was like, I'll do the movie, but you got to let me drive a go-kart around in it?
Probably. It's probably like how everybody says Adam Sandler just does movies so he can go on vacation with his friends, except Macaulay Culkin hadn't been allowed to have a childhood, so he had no friends. So it was just like solo vacations.
He kept trying to get them to put Michael Jackson in a movie with him.
Yeah.
How jarring would that have been if in the movie Richie Rich, when the kids all come over to Richie Rich's mansion for the first time and they're like, whoa, you've got a McDonald's in your bedroom? And then Michael Jackson is just sitting on the bed. Oh, hey, I'm here too. Yeah. Whoa, you got Michael Jackson in your bedroom? Let's have a pillow fight. Wee!
See if you can throw a French fry in my mouth.
You know, I don't know that much about go-karts. I mean, I say that, but I probably know more than a lot of other schmucks. But I never got into go-kart. I drove a go-kart when I was probably like 6 or 7. My neighbors had one, and I ran over their dog Snowball with it. He was fine.
Okay, good.
He was a little shook up. But he just went under.
I've also been hit by a go-kart-esque sort of machine. My cousins built classic cars with their dad, and the Ford Motor Company used to make a miniature Model T that is roughly the size of a go-kart that would probably go up to like 10 miles an hour. And my cousin was mad at me one time and ran me over with his Model T go-kart, which did not even knock me down. It just ran up my leg and like scratched my leg up.
They made a 10 mile per hour Model T. That's incredible. I want one of those. I keep telling my kids, you know, they're starting high school. And Laura's like, they're going to get their driver's licenses and they're going to be all. And I'm like, they are not getting their driver's licenses. What are you talking about? This isn't the 1990s. People don't do that anymore. Get their kids a car. But then I found out about this Chinese car that you could buy on the internet that costs $1,000. And it looks like a little ambulance from a Studio Ghibli movie. And I'm like, oh, I found your car, kids. This is what it goes 30 miles an hour. And it's all electric. And I am gonna 100% buy that thing. And then that's what they can drive to school if they want to show up at school. Looking like the Chinese Ghostbusters, they can go right ahead.
Is that really a thing where kids don't care to? Because I was driving to other cities hours away before I was 17.
Oh yeah, I mean, I think that there might be some interest on their part in driving. It's definitely diminished. It's like how kids aren't horny like they used to be either. But also, it's just prohibitively expensive.
That's true.
Like, cars and insurance have gotten a lot more expensive. And I'm not making more money.
Very true, very true.
That's not true. I am making more money. When I had a car, I was making $7 an hour. But I was able to afford a car. Working at Wendy's for minimum wage. Insane. Anyways, I'll probably just try and get hit by a mail delivery truck or something, and then I can sue the government, and then I won't have to worry about how much it costs. If I do get hit by a mail truck now, I'm fucked, because they'll never believe that it really was an accident. I've gone on the record!
Maybe just bleep this part out. Just and bleep also, it out. I'm going to say, like, if you're going to try to have that happen, try to have it just run over your foot.
Mm-hmm. Maybe
then you can still have a get along, but just have a little wobble in it.
Yeah, maybe I'll be hit by a miniature 10 mile per hour mail truck.
Yeah.
All right, I got another one here.
Okay, what do you got?
This is called Ripped to the Headlines.
Ooh.
And this is where this would be a news podcast, but we're reporting on fictional stuff. And I thought
this was going to be like a copycat criminal podcast.
No,
it was somebody does crimes that they saw on TV.
Yeah. So you know how like on your, you know, procedural crime dramas, they always have like an episode that's like, you know, based on true story, based on actual events. It's like something that's happening in the news at that time.
Mm-hmm.
I believe there was one where Jason Alexander played a character that was supposed to be the WikiLeaks guy, and they gave him like a funny wig. That sort of thing, but in reverse, where we watch an episode of Bones or something, and then report on it as if we think it's actual news.
Ooh.
Caesar, so this is sensational news stories, the kind of stuff that you can't get from the real lying news media. We can watch a couple episodes of CSI Miami, and then we just come and do a news show where we report that one of the laboratory scientists shot a terrorist with a rocket launcher. Yeah.
I honestly think that the way to go might be the television show 24 on this one.
Holy.
Could you imagine if that was really happening? And in the 24-hour news cycle, everything in one season of 24 happened?
Holy shit. That's a good idea. Make it about 24.
Otherwise, like some movies would be good, like some of the James Bond movies, if that shit was really happening, would make for a glued to the television set news day.
Mm-hmm. I think like the James Bond and the Mission Impossibles, it's a little tricky because a lot of times part of the story is that all of these normal, pig people just milling around Walmart have no idea any of this intrigue is happening. If they knew, like their entire perception of the world would be shattered. And it's these careful watchmen, these wolves among the sheep, who protect them from the horrible reality of terrorism. We could end up tearing down the fabric of society if we did. I mean, I guess that what we're talking about doing is a War of the Worlds part two. Yeah. We're going to come on and we're going to be like, ladies and gentlemen, the alien tripods are here. And everyone's going to go outside and shoot the water tower. Except in our case, they would just probably shoot at anybody, a bald guy with a scar or a Nehru jacket,
Who's to say what boogeyman lives in every person's mind that leads them to think that, oh my, here comes a terrorist. I think we have probably a pretty good idea.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's the perfect day to ask, what does a terrorist look like? September 12th. That's the day this comes out.
Yeah. Very true.
Ripped to the headlines.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to all be crime stuff. Sometimes in a TV show or something, like a fanciful invention is created. We could possibly do a report on an absent-minded professor creating flying rubber, for example.
Flying rubber? The 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. The brave Captain Nemo has returned from his voyage to the bottom of the sea. And he's brought with him the corpse of a giant squid. Ladies and gentlemen, this is all I know and remember from reading that book. I'm not even certain that he did return.
He had a really cool boat. It's called the Nautilus. And I think it was like a steam-powered submarine.
I think it's electric.
Is it electric? Okay.
Yeah, I think I believe it's electric in the book and atomic in the movie. I would not get on a Victorian atomic submarine.
Yeah, I think it did have just like a dinghy that you could paddle. I think at some point somebody escapes from the Nautilus on the Nautilus's dinghy.
Like, is it like an enclosed escape pod, or do you just have to wait for it to surface and then you can get in the dinghy?
I think you just have to wait for it to surface.
Interesting. So it just has like a completely non-aerodynamic like rescue boat hanging off the side of it.
This is a very old information that I'm coming up with. I'm pulling this from one of those illustrated versions that you get in elementary school. And it's only there's only a bookmark in my mind because that was the day I learned the word dinghy and wasn't that droll, you know.
You went home. I learned the most wonderful thing at school today, Mother. Dinghy.
Exactly. Yes.
All right. Let's go to the Podtron, folks. The Podtron 4500 is an artificial intelligence that we trained by giving it a list of the most popular podcast titles. It analyzes those, and then it generates a new list of podcast titles that we can use as a jumping-off point to hopefully create our own hit podcast. Podcast titles like... We Can Do Harm.
Ooh.
Yeah. We have the mandate from the Podtron.
A license to harm. Do you think this will just be like a podcast about different weapons?
This could just be a podcast about threats.
Yeah.
It's just an hour of us threatening everyone.
Yeah, I like that.
We'll open up the white pages.
Like, if we're going to talk about weapons, I don't want them to know what type of pain is coming. I don't want to give people time to train against my harm bringing.
Yeah. This is just a podcast where for an hour we are laying it down. Everybody watch out. We can do harm. And we just get the white pages and we're just pointing the names and reading them out.
Yeah. I'll bring my highlighter so we don't forget which people we've promised to do harm to.
That's right. We need to make sure we have a record of who we're going to harm.
Do you think we need to get phone books from other cities too?
Well, I think that we should avoid phone books from some cities. I don't want to accidentally point to Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
Oh yeah.
Although maybe I do.
I don't know. I would go ahead and say that there are big and strong people in almost all cities. Maybe what we need to do is find out the weakest of the cities.
That's true. If you're a bully, first rule of bullying, know who to bully. You can't just be like, I'm a bully, I bully. You got to be like, I bully that guy. You got to pick a person to bully. You can't just bully everybody.
And that's a problem with using the phone book, I think. We aren't getting any of the relevant statistics on these people. It might sound like a complete nerd's name, but, you know, maybe it's a boy named Sue scenario.
Yeah.
Where, yeah, his dad gave him that name to toughen him up.
Yeah.
Now he's the baddest man in town.
You're like, oh, look at this. In the yellow pages, scientist Niels Bohr. Just cracking your knuckles. You show up. He's like an Olympic athlete. Oh, fuck. Dr. Victor von Fries. And then it turns out to be the Arnold Schwarzenegger version.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think that they also say in the movie, he is an Olympic athlete.
Yeah. And it does seem like you're fixating on super scientists. I'm going to try to shy away from super scientists, even though they might be the nerdiest of all. They're the most likely to create a super suit that saves them from my bullying.
True. That does. You bring up a good point. I had not thought about the fact that the greatest minds are generally the ones that come up with the super-powered suit or some kind of a potion that transforms them into a ubermensch.
Mm-hmm.
Don't want that. Maybe I'll go after like Johnny Appleseed. How about that? I think I could take him in a fight.
All right. I'm just going to say, be careful because, you know, he's got that pot on his head.
He's gonna kabong me.
Yeah, it could happen. Plus, he's just been walking back and forth across the country, planting apple seeds, Forrest Gump style. You know, he's got to have
he does give off.
Perhaps he could be very sickly, but he could also be very fit. I'm not sure.
He's got Abe Lincoln vibes, you know. And I've heard tell that Abe Lincoln could kick some ass. So I want to be careful around any kind of Abe Lincoln-esque characters.
I do not think he was nearly as big as Abe Lincoln. I think Abe Lincoln was like 6'5". And back then, the average height was like 5'3".
Yeah.
So Abe Lincoln was like a fucking Goliath.
He had Marfan syndrome. Which, I thought that would make him less dangerous. But apparently, he was living in the land of the Punies. They should have just sent him out there, right? If he'd had any kind of scientific knowledge, he would have built himself a steam-powered mech suit and just headed out into battle against Stonewall Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Can you picture it?
I can.
There's some guy on Reddit who's already like ahead of us writing a book that he's going to self-publish on Amazon. Abraham Lincoln, mech warrior.
Do you think it's possible in those incredibly long, very boring Civil War movies they used to make, Gettysburg and Gods and Generals, that there is a mech scene, but it's just 2.5 hours into the movie and nobody ever got to it.
On it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's at the very end of Glory. Matthew Broderick suits up in the Iron Giant and heads into bat. You know, we're joking around, but they literally did introduce ironclad ships during that war. And it must have been one of the most interesting moments to be a human being, just sitting out on the seaside and seeing those two fucking boats both show up to the battle, not knowing that the other team had one too. And then they just kept firing cannonballs at each other for hours and hours,
mm-hmm.
not making any progress.
This is the sort of stuff that I learned about in my government in social studies classes. Cause I knew about those guys. And also the Revolutionary War submarine that was like barrel sized that would allow them to drill holes into boats to sink them.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the turtle, I think.
The turtle, I believe, killed everyone that used it, right? It didn't wasn't super useful. I mean, I guess useful enough. It sank ships.
Yeah. And life is cheap, you know?
Yeah. Hey. It's not like George Washington's out there in the turtle. He's sending mm-hmm. some poor schmuck, the minority whip.
Yeah, his least favorite son. you go, Jonathan.
Jonathan Washington. Washington. Do you have another Podtron idea?
I do. This is, I'm going to pick this one because we've already talked about the Friends. This one is Inside Friends Lip Service.
I think this
could be a podcast where we go through interviews with the stars of the Friends series and see what nice, quote unquote, nice things they have to say about their former co-stars, because the cast of Friends didn't have the most success in the movies. And I think reading about what Jennifer Aniston had to say about Matt LeBlanc's film Ed in 1997 might be kind of fun.
Mm.
And we can kind of parse the lip service that they're forced to give based on the terrible movies that they're all in.
All right. I'm trying to think of movies that had the cast of Friends. So should we go by, let's go by actor. So we had Matt LeBlanc was in Ed.
Lost in Space. And now I'm drawing a blank. Those are the two biggies. That might be it.
Sheesh.
Now, go ahead.
Courtney Cox was in Scream.
Yep.
Scream 2.
Yep.
Scream three.
I think maybe all of the Screams.
Scream four. Was she in anything else besides Scream? Any rom-coms? Because I know Jennifer Aniston, she was in, well, she let's run the, it down.
The Leprechaun. Most success. Yeah,
Leprechaun. The Leprechaun. She was in that Gerard Butler bounty hunter romantic comedy.
I know what you're talking about. I don't remember. I remember some of, I think, Picture Perfect. David Schwimmer was in Kissing a Fool and The Pallbearer.
Jennifer Aniston was in Horrible Bosses and Horrible Bosses 2.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, they probably breathed a huge sigh of relief that they didn't cast Kevin Spacey as the sex pest boss in that movie, huh?
Yeah.
The
big one for Courtney Cox that we forgot is Ace Ventura.
Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, of course. What's her name? Phoebe. Lisa Kudrow. She's yeah. got some good movies.
Yeah.
She's got Romeo and Michelle's High School Reunion. Kill Bill. I can't think of any. I keep thinking of movies with Uma Thurman and then confusing. I was thinking of The Truth About Cats and Dogs, but that's Uma Thurman, right?
It is.
If you put Uma Thurman and Janine Garofalo into the Brundlefly machine, you get Lisa Kudrow.
Well, Janine Garofalo was in Romeo and Michelle's High School Reunion.
Mm, yeah.
And the other Lisa Kudrow ones I remember are the Analyze This and Analyze That movies.
I've never seen them.
Lucky Numbers.
Lucky Numbers, Slevin?
No, it's... I think it's like a heist movie where it's her and John Travolta.
Ooh. That's a weird man. John Travolta was hanging in there.
After he came back in the 90s and was huge again for that decade.
It was really strange. It was like he was in Pulp Fiction and they were like, oh, John Travolta's back. But then they didn't know what to do with him. You know?
They made a bunch of movies that weren't very good, but were very successful. People were ready for it.
They just plugged him into any old thing. They were like, I don't know, maybe he's the villain in an action movie. Maybe he's the villain and the hero.
In an action movie.
In an action movie.
Okay, so you've just done Broken Arrow and Face Off, I believe. Now,
yeah, okay. Exactly. Maybe he's an angel.
Oh, that's Michael.
Come down to earth.
Or he's just a regular man who's experiencing some sort of supernatural phenomenon, perhaps?
Phenomenon. I was thinking of that, but I was getting it confused with K-Pax in my mind.
That's understandable.
Yeah.
It's a K-Pax-y-ass movie.
Yeah. I got my my magical sex pests confused.
But anyway, I think that we can talk shit about all these Friends movies, but I would imagine that in interviews, contemporary interviews of the time, there were so many bad movies that they were in that we can probably find them saying some shit about their co-stars' films.
I would love to do research for this, like just to find those, like, those stupid interviews where someone from Entertainment Tonight is like asking Lisa Kudrow, oh, have you seen Scream? What do you think?
Yeah.
Like, why would I care? Just coming up to someone on the street. Hey, have you tried your ex-boyfriend's chili? I don't know. I'm making my own chili right now. Why are you asking me this? Kurt Loder, get out of my face. All right, I got one more here.
Okay, what do you got?
The Podtron has suggested a podcast, the title of which is No Fuck Your Hands Together, My Bro.
Okay. Is this like that thing where you and your friend lock hands together so you can see what a vagina looks like?
This is exactly what I was thinking would be. This is a podcast for the bros to teach them better, new, inventive ways of masturbating. Fuck your hands together, my bro.
Are you suggesting that they make a Play-Doh snake with their dick?
Yeah, the okay. Praying hands. Just praying hands emoji, eggplant emoji. Fuck your hands together, my bro. You know, the bros love to do to make up a sex move that no one would enjoy, and then lie to their friends and say they did it one time. Oh, dude, you ever done that? You put shit on your finger, and then you poke a bitch in the eye? Come on. Oh, it's amazing. But this is just, this is a good way to contain that negative energy in its own little masturbatory bubble. So we're going to come up with new and inventive masturbation techniques that we can give to the bros.
Okay.
And then they won't hurt anybody but themselves.
I think this is a good idea, but I also think it's going to be exceedingly difficult for us to come up with new ways to masturbate, because there are so many men that have lived and masturbated in this world that I would imagine that any sort of implement that a penis fits in, it has fitted in there before.
Maybe
so we might have to actually create whole new inventions to make this happen.
Mm-hmm. How about this one? You sit on a hard floor until your penis and balls go to sleep. And then, while they're completely numb and flaccid, carefully cram them through the opening of a soda can.
I'm going to guess that someone has done this.
You're looking at him, maybe.
I don't know. That one doesn't interest me much. Though, come to think of it, in a lifetime of drinking things out of cans, I've always been worried about getting cut by the lip, and it's never happened. And I don't think this thing's actually sharp.
It is. It,
right now. It is sharp.
Please do not try and put your dick in that hole.
I'm going to lick it real hard. Oh. Yeah. Okay.
I did one time at a summer camp. They had like some kind of gross Olympics. Like contest, and one of the things was like eat a bunch of like nasty canned meat products, and someone did, trying to win, open up a can of like the Armor potted meat and did like one of these finger around the can, and it did just completely like around the finger.
Okay, that's
gnarly. Ugh, it gives me the heebie-jeebies just every time I think about.
I did something like that, but I didn't do my finger around the side. But I did eat dog wet dog food one time to win a bet. Not like whole can, just one bite. One bite, $10.
How was it?
I'd probably do it again. Not good.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
But definitely worth $10.
They don't salt pet food.
Yeah, right? it's just very bland.
The very dogs bland. Like it bland. They like it bland and stinky. That just made me think of my very old dog who just turned 119 years old in dog years today. Has taken to eating pure baking soda. Which
probably got acid reflux going on.
It's just, we keep putting baking soda in the carpet because she keeps having accidents, because she is older than the queen now. She has outlived the queen. But, yeah, then if you don't grind the baking soda into the carpet, she comes in there and just starts hoovering it up like it's food. Which is like beyond normal weird dog behavior. I tell you, there is nothing more interesting than a senile dog. No, fuck your hands together, my bro.
Okay, I've got one more here. This one is Best of the Rich.
Of course.
So this is a podcast about damning with faint praise.
The best of the rich. It's almost like the lifestyles of the rich and the famous. But if Robin Leach had been kind of bitchy, you know, just low key throwing shade the entire time.
Yeah. The show probably would have only lasted one season, but it would have been, you know, MTV Rock and Jock level program.
Boy, oh boy, what a season. That's what, you know, there's an alternate universe where the guy who played Jim on The Office, John Krasinski.
Mm-hmm.
There's an alternate universe where he didn't get recruited by the CIA to do weird propaganda movies for the rest of his life. And instead, he's just doing that Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. But every time that they show someone's extravagant lifestyle, he just does the gym face right at the camera. And everybody loves it. He's just in the Kardashians' house and they have like a whole separate fridge for sparkling and still water. And then Kim Kardashian is like, the sparkles get into the still if you put them in the same fridge. And then Jim's like,
oh, yeah.
All right. Whoa! Everybody's, we love it.
Yeah. Now I'm thinking about what it would be like to have just a, just one refrigerator in a kitchen or two refrigerators in a kitchen, but a refrigerator room where they're lined up like pinball machines in an arcade.
And they're all just, the room is so hot from all the refrigerators running in it. They all have to work so hard to defeat the combined energy of refrigerators all running in a room, just making the room so hot, which makes them all run even harder. And what's inside those refrigerators? It's just a Bitcoin mining rig. What's going on with Bitcoin? Is it back? Is it still in the toilet?
I'm not the right person to ask on this. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. When all that stuff started, I read several articles about it. I have a vague understanding of how it works and everything, but also, it always struck me as being like dumb, destined to not work right.
I think that's fair.
And so I stopped reading about it. And well, there's a little bit of egg on my face. I thought we would be done with it by now. And I think I was wrong, but I stand by my decision to not be a crypto guy.
I got out with money.
My irresponsible investments are now that gambling is on sports is illegal in Indiana is just betting on football, basketball, and baseball.
Wait, betting on sports is legal in Indiana?
Yep, and the apps, you can set up your bets, drive across the bridge, click send, drive right back to Louisville, and yeah.
Interesting. I don't know anything about sports. I think I'll probably steer clear of that. I'll just stick to my Powerball. I know the Powerball. I understand how it works. I have my own strategies.
Yeah. I want to, I know it can't win, but I just want to insist on buying a Powerball with the same number multiple times.
Just like 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5.
Yeah, my favorite number is 15. So I'm going to get three of those in there. But then I'm also going to do like a 32 and a 19. So that's three 15s, a 32 and a 19. Make the Powerball also 15. But if you fill it out yourself, like there's only one bubble you can color in. But I want to try to make the person at the cash register give me a ticket that cannot win.
Now, I think that statistically, the odds are just as good that that is the winning number. Could you imagine if there's...
I think that they aren't replaced once they're picked. I don't think you can have two 15s in the Powerball. In like the pick three or the pick four, you definitely can.
Oh, you're right. You can't repeat the numbers because they all come out of one tumbler. Yeah, no, that makes sense. That would be incredible.
Though I gotta
though.
Say, I haven't seen that tumbler in a long time. You used to see that thing. I think we're all taking it on faith that that they don't just have a record of where all of the numbers are, then they pick based on.
Let's us the podcast. We'll take our Patreon monies and we'll buy a Powerball ticket that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And if it wins, it'll be the most incredible win of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, people will listen to the podcast. They'll be like, did you hear about this podcast? They won the lottery. They played 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
It's probably a pretty popular thing to play. We'll probably have to share with a bunch of other idiots.
Yeah. We end up winning like $800 because...
$800? You know how many tacos that is?
We have to like go and like get our picture taken with a giant check, and it's like a bunch of like
tacos.
Mentally ill people there with us. It's like fucking One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and us holding the big we're check. Like,
we have the best haircuts too, and $800.
It's like a bunch of mentally disabled people and us holding the check. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's best of the rich.
Yep.
All right. Just running through them again here. We got Stony Cojones, an in-depth history of MTV's rock and jock programming. The House Ways and Means podcast. Go-Go Go-Karts, the annotated podcast. Ripped to the headlines. We Can Do Harm. Inside Friends Lip Service. No Fuck Your Hands Together, My Bro. And best of the rich. Any of these jumping out at you?
I can do most of these, I think. Is there anything that jumps out at you?
I like the Stony Cojones because I'm completely unfamiliar with this rock and jock programming and would love to learn more.
Okay. Let's do that one. Cause I'm not going to burn anymore, but, I gave you the 1990 lineup. It's a completely different thing by like 1996. So let's confer and, pick which one we want to watch. Maybe we watch two of them and the cast of the people that they cast in this thing will be enough to talk about for an hour.
Excellent. So folks, if you want to hear Stony Cojones, an in-depth history, well, maybe we don't call it an in-depth history if we're just doing two.
An well, in-depth you know, if we continue to do it, you know,
yeah,
we'll
oh
be,
yeah,
eventually
of course.
Be in depth.
This will be the one. This will be the one. You can head to patreon.com/ we don't have a podcast yet. Sign up to support the show, and you'll get access to all the premium weekly episodes, including Stony Cajones and the one that we did last week. What was that?
Prayer request one?
The prayer request one. And the one before that, where we reenacted a bunch of Jack Chick tracts.
Yeah.
And
yeah, skip the prayer request one. That one wasn't as good.
And our own take on the Punies with Kobe Bryant.
Our own superior take on the Punies. The real Punies with Coney Bryant.
The real
Kobe Bryant. With Coney Bryant. Yeah.
We're going to have to go back and retitle that one, The Real Punies with Kobe Bryant, just so we don't get sued. Well, folks, thanks for listening. I'm Nathan B. Woodard.
I'm Andrew James Estes.
Good night.